This is the podcast for JNS Spine. Welcome to the June 6, 2014 podcast from Journal of Neurosurgery Spine. My name is Natalie Pinchem, and I'll be reading synopses of some of the articles published today. The topics covered in this week's podcast are oncology, spinal cord injury, and trauma. Molecular characterization of chroma xenografts generated from a novel primary chordoma cell source and two chordoma cell lines. A laboratory investigation by Isaac Karikari and colleagues. Chordomas are rare, aggressive tumors found in the sacrum, spine, and clivus. They are highly destructive to native tissues, with complete resection possible in only 50% of cases. These tumors are derived from embryonic notochordal remnants and are identified by the expression of brachyury, a notochord-specific transcription factor. The authors of this study were interested in CD24 expression in chordoma, as CD24 is a marker of nucleus pulposus cells, which are similarly derived from notochord. Using cell culture and xenograft models, the authors examined how brachyury and CD24 expression relate to tumor growth kinetics in three chordoma cell types, two well-accepted chordoma cell lines, and one newly created tumor-derived line. All chordoma cells expressed CD24 and brachyury protein in vitro, but exhibited large differences in kinetics of tumor growth in vivo. Chordoma cells from one well-accepted line and the newly created line developed tumors in 75-95% of cases in less than 20 weeks, whereas the second well-accepted cell line developed tumors in less than 50% of cases and in more than 26 weeks. Variability in brachyury could not explain this difference in tumor growth among cell sources. However, variability in CD24 expression was noted, with low levels of CD24 associated with slower tumor growth. Tumor extravasation following a cement augmentation procedure for vertebral compression fracture in metastatic spinal disease. A report of two cases by Juan Pablo Cruz and co-authors. Balloon kyphoplasty has been proven to be safe and effective in the management of pathological vertebral compression fracture secondary to metastatic spinal disease. The most common serious complications related to balloon kyphoplasty include cement extravasation and new fractures in adjacent levels. The authors report two cases of an until now unreported complication that they have termed tumor extravasation, based on an unusual rapid tumor spread pattern into the adjacent vertebrae. They postulated that the mechanism of this phenomenon is a migration of tumor cells through cortical defects into the soft tissues or the venous bone sinusoids, resulting from an increase in vertebral body internal pressure or direct mechanical displacement of the tumor mass. This would allow the tumor cells to spread to the adjacent levels, which manifests radiologically as subligamentous spread and or extension of the tumor into the epidural venous plexus. Each case is more illustrative of one of the postulated mechanisms, but possibly both coexist. After encountering this new complication, the authors have modified their preference such that high-risk patients are now first treated with radiosurgery, followed by balloon kyphoplasty, to ensure the target is appropriately treated. subacute post-traumatic ascending myelopathy in a 15-year-old boy, a case report by Timothy Covander and Eric Michael Horn. Subacute post-traumatic ascending myelopathy is a rare occurrence in the days to weeks following an initial spinal cord injury that is unrelated to manipulation of an unprotected cord and involves four or more vertebral levels above the original injury. The authors present a case of subacute post-traumatic ascending myelopathy occurring in a 15-year-old boy who sustained a T3 to T4 fracture dislocation, resulting in a complete spinal cord injury. Most cases of subacute post-traumatic ascending myelopathy occur within 3 weeks of injury. Interestingly, the author's patient presented approximately 5 weeks after injury. This report reviews the hypothesized pathophysiology of subacute post-traumatic ascending myelopathy. In addition, through radiographic findings, the present case provides support for the theory that this disease process is caused, at least partially, by alterations in cerebrospinal fluid flow. Thank you for listening. Follow the JNS on Twitter at #TheJNS and please like us on Facebook at Journal of Neurosurgery Publishing Group. Comments on this podcast can be sent to JNSpodcast@thejns.org.